بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. So we begin seeking the aid and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone، مستعينين به سبحانه وتعالى، سائلين Allah Azza wa Jal, التوفيق والسداد. Asking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us success, to say that which is correct, and to be upright upon that way. We begin the seminar, which is with regards to the clarification of the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. And this narration is well known, and it has been collected from the hadith of Umar by Al-Imam Muslim, and also collected from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu as-sahabati jami'an by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahum Allahu ta'ala. But the wording that is well known to many of us, and that is widespread, is the narration of Umar radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. And this is the wording that we will read from, and we will begin by reading the narration and having the translation of the whole text, and after that we'll begin inshallah ta'ala mentioning some of the benefits related to this narration. So Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he mentioned with his chain to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu annahu qal, that he said, baynama nahdu 'inda rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhat yawm, he said, one day we were with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idh tala'a 'alayna rajulun shadidu bayad thiyab shadidu suwad ash-sha'r, and suddenly a man, he came to us, and he had an extremely white garment, and likewise extremely black hair. La yura alayhi atharu safar, and there were no traces of traveling on this man. Wala ya'rifuhu minna ahadun, and no one from amongst us knows him. حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتي ووضع كفيه على فخذي وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. And the man, he came until he sat in front of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he put his knees to his knees, and then he put his hands on his thighs, meaning he put his knees to the knees of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then he put his hands on his own thighs, and he said like this, and he said, يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام, O Muhammad, inform me about al-Islam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, at this time the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, at this time he said, al-Islam is to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and that you establish the prayer, and that you perform the zakat, and that you fast the month of Ramadan, and that you make the pilgrimage to the house if you have the ability to do that. Qala sadaqta, he said, the man, he said, verily, you told the truth. Qala, yani Umar radiyallahu anhu, he says, fa'ajibna lahu yas'aluhu وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. Umar, he said at this time, so we were amazed at him, how he comes and he asked this question, and then after that he says, verily, you told the truth. And then after that he affirms that he said the truth. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنَ الْإِيمَانِ, he said, after this, inform me about al-Iman. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet, he says, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responding to this affair, inform me about al-Iman? He said, that is to believe in Allah, and in His angels, and in His books, and in His messengers, and in the last day, and to believe in the decree, the good of it and the bad of it. Qala sadaqta. At this time the man, he said again, verily you told the truth. Qala fa'akhbirni an al-ihsan. So now he said, the man, then inform me about al-ihsan. Qala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, an ta'buda allaha ka'annaka tarahu. Fa'in lam tukun tarahu fa'innahu yaraka. That it is to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you are not able to see Him, then you know certainly that He sees you. Then you are certain and you know that He sees you. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. So now the man, he says, then inform me about the hour. Then inform me about the hour. قَالَ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. That the one who is being asked has no more knowledge than the one who was asking. The one who is being questioned, he does not have more knowledge than the questioner. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمْرَاتِهَا. And so at this time the man, he says, then inform me about the signs. Then inform me about its signs, meaning the signs of the hour. قَالَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That you will see the slave woman giving birth to her master. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتِ الْعَالَةَ رِيَعَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَوَّلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And that you will see the those shepherds who are poor and they are naked, meaning they're not covered and they're poor and they're barefooted, hastening and racing and competing with one another to build tall buildings. To build tall buildings. قَالَ ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ. And then he said, and at this time the man, he left and he went away. Umar, he says, radiyallahu anhu, فَلَبِثْتُ مَلِيًّا. He says, so I waited some time. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِي. Meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger, he said to me, and Umar, he's mentioning this, radiyallahu anhu, يَا Umar, أَتَدْرِ مَنِ السَّائِلِ. Oh Umar, do you know who the questioner is? قُلْتُ. Umar, he said, I said, radiyallahu anhu, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Umar, he said, I said that verily Allah and His Messenger know best. Qala, the Messenger at this time, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. فَإِنُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He said, verily, it was Jibreel. And he came to you to teach you your deen. He came to you to teach you your religion. So this is the narration of Jibreel alayhi salam, and this is a great narration, and it consists of the affairs of the religion and encompasses the aspects of the deen in entirety. And for this reason, many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, just as the Fatiha is Umul Kitab or Al-Quran, just as the Fatiha is the foundation of the book and the foundation of the Quran, meaning that just as the Fatiha is a general explanation summarizing that which is found in the rest of the Quran, and the rest of the Quran is a detailed explanation of the Fatiha, similar like that, the Hadith of Jibreel, Ummu As-Sunnah, is the foundation of the Sunnah. It's the foundation of the Sunnah, meaning that which has come in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with detail and clarification, it all goes back to this narration. So this narration summarizes. This narration summarizes that which has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from details. So this is a great narration, Umm Sunnah, a great narration. And from the benefits of this narration is that it clarifies likewise that the religion is not all one level, but rather it has maratib, but rather it has stages and levels, and that there are three: the level of al-Islam, and after that higher in degree al-Iman, and then likewise after that, even higher in degree, the level of al-ihsan, and the perfection and the completion of the religion. And likewise, based upon that, the people of al-Iman, or the people of al-Islam, the Muslims, يتفاوتون في هذا الدين وفي إيمانهم وإسلامهم. The Muslims, they are likewise fluctuating in their faith, and they vary in their degrees and their status and their ranks. Some of them are strong and their deen is good, and others, they are lesser than that, according to the application of what is found in the likes of this narration and the application of the deen. So we see that this narration is the clarification of the deen, and that is seen because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in the end, إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلْ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that verily this is Jibreel, he came to teach you your deen. So here the whole deen is being taught and being clarified and being explained. And this is the issue with regards to this. And Jibreel, he is considered a teacher, although he's coming as a questioner. And likewise, we'll see that this is from the benefits of this narration. And likewise, we will see, inshallah, that this is from the benefits of this narration. So this narration, it summarizes the entire religion and clarifying that the religion is levels and ranks and stages, and that the people of this religion, they are all not on one level, but rather they fluctuate and vary according to their knowledge and application of the deen. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has described al-Islam to be the outward actions, al-a'mal al-zahira, al-a'mal al-zahira, the outward actions, clarifying that al-Islam, it is the outward actions, the actions that are performed with the body parts, and the actions that are seen, like pronouncing and stating the shahada and performing the salat and performing the zakat. These are actions that are done outwardly and apparently, and the fasting and the hajj and the likes like this. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has described al-Islam with these outward actions. And likewise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he mentioned the clarification of al-Iman, he described al-Iman as being the inward actions, al-A'mal, al-A'mal, al-Batina, the inward actions, the actions of the heart, the actions that are related to the heart. And this is very suitable for these terms in the Arabic language, because al-Islam, it has the meaning of al-Istislam, to submit and to surrender and to comply, to submit and to surrender and to comply, meaning with the body parts, in submission, willfully and obediently. And likewise, the term al-Iman, linguistically, it has that meaning of the affairs of the heart and belief in the heart. So the people of knowledge, they have clarified that the likes of these terms, al-Islam and al-Iman, they are from those terms that if one of them is mentioned along with the other, then they have separate meanings. But if one of them is mentioned alone, then it has its meaning originally, and also it includes the meaning of the other one. It also includes the meaning of the other one. So these terms here, whenever they are gathered in one context, they have separate meanings, and they indicate separate issues. But whenever they are mentioned alone in one context, then they include both meanings. Then they include both meanings. And the example of that is in this narration. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned al-Islam, he referred to the actions that are outward and apparent, and the actions of the body parts. And whenever he referred to al-Iman in the same context, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the affairs that are related to the heart, from believing in Allah and in His angels and in His books and messengers and the rest of the pillars of faith. And this is the case. And this is the case whenever they are mentioned, whenever they are mentioned together. And other evidences likewise with regard to this, whenever these terms are mentioned together and they have separate meanings, like in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifying the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the janazah, and in the janazah prayer that is collected by Sunan al-Arba'ah. And in that supplication, whenever one he prays and supplicates and makes dua for the deceased in the time of the janazah prayer, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say, Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa'ahihi ala al-Islam. O Allah, the one that you caused to live from amongst us, then cause him to live upon al-Islam. Wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-Iman. And the one whom you caused to die from amongst us, then cause him to die upon al-Iman. So we see that this likewise is very suitable, and that what is required from a Muslim, so long as he is alive, and so long as he has life and hayat, then what is required for him is to submit and to surrender, inwardly and outwardly. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made dua for this, like this: those whom you cause to live from amongst us, then cause them to live upon al-Islam, meaning upon compliance to and submission and surrender to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what is required from a believer while he's alive, meaning based upon sincere faith, of course. But likewise, at the time of death, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here the issue of al-Iman, and those whom you cause to die from amongst us and take his soul, then cause him to die upon al-Iman. And this is what is required from a believer, that he lives upon al-Islam and he dies upon faith, and that he dies upon faith. So these narrations and other, then these narrations, they clarify this great benefit with regards to the terms al-Islam and al-Iman, that whenever they are mentioned in a context together, they have separate meanings. They have separate meanings. And this is a great benefit. And what the people of knowledge, they mean whenever they refer to this is not just the term Islam itself, but rather that term and every word that is derived from that. Every word that is derived from that. وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ. Like this, the meaning surrendering himself outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. And likewise, the word Iman, not just the word Iman alone, but rather the word Iman and all of that, all of those words that are derived from that, like مُؤْمِنُونَ or مُؤْمِنِينَ أو آمنوا الذين آمنوا. All of this here, whenever it's mentioned alone, it's referring to the issue of al-Islam and Iman. But whenever it's mentioned together with Islam, it's referring to the affairs of the heart and the Iman in this manner. And from the examples of whenever they're mentioned separately in one context, including both meanings, is like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever seeks other than al-Islam as a deen, as a way of life, as a religion, then it will never be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be from the losers. And so what is intended here, al-Islam and the affairs outwardly and likewise inwardly, al-Iman is included in this affair. Whoever seeks another way, other than the way of faith, other than the way of the deen of al-Islam, and that which is required from that from faith, likewise, then it will never be accepted from him. And with regards to al-Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ أَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever disbelieves in al-Iman, then verily his actions will be invalidated, and in the hereafter he will be amongst the losers. And in the hereafter he will be amongst the losers. And whoever disbelieves in Iman, and likewise what is included here, al-Islam. So if a person were to disbelieve in the shahada wa riyadu billah, or disbelieve in the salat and say that it's not obligatory, likewise he will disbelieve. Likewise he will disbelieve with that, and his deeds will be invalidated. And if he died upon that, wa riyadu billah, he will be amongst the losers. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. So what is intended here is not just Iman, meaning the inward affairs, but rather likewise the outward affairs as well. And this is understood from this principle that is derived from the likes of these narrations, that these terms here, al-Islam wa Iman, whenever they are mentioned together in one context, they have separate meanings. Separate meanings. And whenever they are mentioned alone in one context, they each one of them includes the meaning of the other one. Each one of them includes the meaning of the other one. And this is a great benefit that would help a believer to understand the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and likewise to be able to ponder and to think deeply and reflect upon the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to reflect upon the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are other terms like this that are known to the people of knowledge, like al-birr wa taqwa, and likewise al-fiqir wa al-miskin. And each one of them has its understanding. And each one of them has its understanding. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration is the mention of a man coming, and he's coming in this manner, and the companions, they see him, and they see his clothing, and they see his hair, and they see his demeanor, and they witness him, and they witness this event, but he's an angel. He's an angel. And this is from the usul of al-Iman that will be discussed in this affair, al-Imanu bil-Malaika, to believe in the angels. And from that belief, what is required is to believe in them specifically, and that which has come specifically and in general, and that which has come general. And here is a specific event with regards to the angels, and that is that they have the ability to change forms, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to change forms, and that they have a form that they were created in. And it has been narrated in the Haditha Aisha, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِالنُّورِ. And this is something known, that the angels, they are created from light, and they have a great form, and their bodies are huge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of His creation. But likewise, He has given them, with His power and ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given them the ability to change forms. And so we see here that this man, he came, but in reality, he's an angel. And that which the companions, they witnessed an angel, and they heard the speech of an angel. And this is from the affairs that we believe in, and that we testify to the truthfulness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi وسلم with regards to. Likewise, in this narration, from the benefits, we see that there is the clarification also of some of the etiquettes of the student of knowledge. From that is the appearance and the demeanor of a student of knowledge, and that he will come to the class, and he will come to the lesson, and he will come with nobility and honor, and he will come with respect, and before that he will prepare himself, and he will wear the clothing that is presentable and nice, and he will take care of his appearance and the likes like this. And this is clear from this issue here, because in the origin, what is apparent in the first place, and the asl is that he come as a student. He came as a seeker of knowledge, and he asking a question, alayhi salam Jibril. And how did he come? Shadidu bayad thiyab, shadidu sawad shar. He came with a very bright white clothing on, and his hair was very dark, black, meaning he came in a good appearance. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned likewise, the student of knowledge, he will come in this manner. And if that's the case with the student, then likewise the teacher, he also will come in this manner. And it's been mentioned about Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he would adorn himself and that he would put on beautiful clothing and perfume and the likes before he would come and narrate the narrations to the people. And before he would come and enter the masjid and sit in front of the people to teach them. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is a great benefit with regards to that. Likewise, from the etiquettes of the manners of the student of knowledge found in this noble narration is the manner that he came and that he sat. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even some of the wordings is mentioned that he gave salam. That he came and he gave salam. So we give salam like this in coming into the gathering. But it's mentioned here, حَتَّى جَلَسَ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ فَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ. That he came to the gathering until he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very close. Until he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very close until his knees were touching his knees. Meaning he's directly in front of him and very close to him. And then he sat up straight with his hands on his lap. In this manner, likewise, a student of knowledge, whenever he comes to the gathering, he will strive and he will make effort to sit in the front and to sit in the front at the feet of the Shaykh. He will come with the diligence to learn and to benefit. And he will not want to be in the back where there's lots of commotion or where there are weaker students of knowledge who are talking to each other or using WhatsApp and the likes like this during the class. But rather he will want to sit in front of the Shaykh at his foot where the diligent students are trying to benefit. He'll be the first to hear the words of the teacher and the first to benefit from the teacher, and he will be able to see him clearly in his manners and his conduct and the way that he delivers the class and the way that he narrates the narrations, and he will be the first to strive to benefit. And this is from the diligence and the truthfulness and honesty that he has in his search for knowledge, that he will strive like this to come and to sit close to the teacher, and that he will sit with diligence likewise, and he will sit with honor and respect and dignity, and he will listen attentively. And this is from the benefits that is found in this great narration, the narration of Jibreel, alayhi salam. Likewise, from the manners of the student of knowledge that the people of knowledge have derived from this narration is the issue, which is very important. Rather, as has been narrated, is half of knowledge, and that is the issue of la adri, to say, I do not know, to say that I do not know. And this is clear coming from, first and foremost, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then likewise after that, Umar radiyallahu anhu. And this narration is two examples from the Messenger himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he knows something and he's asked about that, he will speak with knowledge. He will speak with revelation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if he's asked about something that he does not know, he will say, La adri, I do not know. And likewise, the companions after him in the tabi'een, and likewise the true, sincere student of knowledge, he will not be shy, he will not be bashful, he will not be scared to tell the people he does not know if he does not know. But rather, this is the proper way, and this is a sign that he has true knowledge, and that the knowledge that he has caused his heart to fear Allah, to fear from speaking about Allah, and to say anything about Allah or his deen, or about his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without certainty, without proof, and without evidence. And verily Allah knows whenever one speaks what he's speaking from, and whenever he's talking what he's talking from, and what he's basing his statement upon, whether he's saying it based upon certain knowledge that he believes in, or whether he's saying it based upon something that he is freestyling, or he's trying to make up, or trying to pretend as if he has knowledge and the likes like this, or speak about Allah Azza wa Jalla without knowledge. So therefore, from the great manners of a student of knowledge is that whenever he is asked about something that he does not know, he will follow his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will follow the companions radiallahu anhum, rather even likewise following the angels in that, and he will say, La adri, I do not know. And this has come. And the angels, they mentioned that whenever they are asked about the names of all things, La ilma lana illa ma alamtana. They said, we have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. And they said that we do not know, the angels themselves. And likewise here, he said, Akhbirni fa akhbirni an as-sa'a. Inform me about the hour. When is the hour? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alama min as-sa'il. The one who is being asked does not have any more knowledge than the one asking. Meaning, I do not know any more than you do. I do not have any more knowledge about that affair than you do. And nobody knows that except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred the knowledge back to the one who knows. And that is Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he said, Ya Umar, atadri man as-sa'il? Umar, do you know who the questioner is? And Umar, he didn't say he knows or what he thinks, but rather he says, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. But rather, Allah and His Messenger, they know better. They know better. And at this time, he was informed of that great benefit. Innahu Jibril. Verily, it was Jibril. Atakum yu'alimukum dinakum. Atakum yu'alimukum dinakum. It's Jibril. He came to teach you your religion. It's been narrated from Ash-Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 109. He said, La adri nisful ilm. La adri nisful ilm. This is a great benefit from this narration for a student of knowledge. That saying, I do not know, it is half of knowledge. And we see the examples of that in our mashaykh today, alhamdulillah. And they have taught us by example. And how many times have we heard our shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, al-Abad, hafidhahullah ta'ala, asked about affairs, and he will say, I do not know. He will say, La adri. And many times he will say, Is'al ghayri, ask somebody else. I do not know. And they will not be shy. And these would be in gatherings in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, literally with thousands around. And he will not be shy. And he will be asked and say, I do not know. And likewise, it has come to us also this great example from the likes of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise from the likes of Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that they would be asked about questions sometimes and they would say, I do not know. Give me a few days or give me a week and I will research the issue for you and get back with you. And I will research the issue for you and get back with you. And so this is from the way of a student of knowledge, the way of a true seeker of knowledge. That if he knows something and he's asked about that, or he has an opportunity to benefit with that, then he will speak about that upon clarity. And he will seek the aid of Allah Azza wa Jalla to do that. But if he's asked about something that he does not know, he will not be shy. He will not be shy. لا يستنكف. Rather, he will say, لا أدري. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that Jibril, he came, and what is apparent is that he is asking a question. But also, what is apparent after that is that he knows the answer. And he would ask the question, and this is something that amazed Umar and those along with him, radiallahu anhu and as-sahabati ajma'in. And he would ask the question, and then he would say, alayhi salam, Jibril, sadaqta. He asked the question, and he said, verily, you told the truth, that's right. Meaning that's right, that's the truth. And that's why Umar, he said, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ يُصَدِّقُ. So we found this to be amazing that he came in this manner and he asked him his questions and he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would tell him he's correct. Verily you told the truth. So they found this to be amazing. But in reality, the clarification comes in the end of the narration again. Such a great benefit. إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That verily it was Jibreel. He came to teach you your deen. So here we see that not everybody who asks a question has to be upon ignorance. And yeah, not every question is based upon ignorance, but rather some questions are based upon knowledge. And this is from the beautiful way of teaching. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered Jibril a teacher. يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That he's a teacher. And the only thing he did was ask questions. And the only thing he did, alayhi salam, was ask questions. So sometimes, likewise, a believer, he will be in certain circumstances and situations, and he will know that there are individuals who are along with him that are in need of some knowledge that he knows. And he will ask the question in order for them to hear it. And he will ask the question in order for them to hear it and to benefit. So this is something that is good. And much good have come from good questions. Whenever a person, he has a good question and a beautiful and pure and sincere intention along with that question, so many good things have come from that. So many good things will come from that. From the beginning of classes and new affairs and new benefits and the likes like this, all because one will ask a question with sincerity, hoping to find the truth. So sometimes a believer, he will know the answer to an affair, or he will know the details of an issue, but he knows that there are others who need to hear that. And likewise, maybe he knows that if he were to say that himself, possibly those people would not accept it from him. Or maybe he's already tried to guide them and direct them, and he's working on these individuals with this issue, calling them to this affair. And if they hear it from somebody else besides him, especially if he's a teacher or in another gathering and the likes like this, they hear it, it will be a means for them to accept that. And it will be a means, inshallah, for them to follow the truth and the evidence that he's calling to by this affair. So a believer, he will not care whether the truth is clarified on his tongue or on the tongue of others, so long as the people, they hear the truth and they follow the right deen and they follow the correct way. So this is from the means likewise of a student of knowledge and of somebody who wants khair for the Muslims, that he will ask questions to benefit others. That he will ask questions to benefit others. And this is something that likewise is very beneficial and from the benefits of this narration. This narration, it contains many benefits, alhamdulillah, but we will suffice with these now, because likewise there are other affairs that must be discussed in a brief period of time, and that is the issue of al-Islam. And Jibril, he came alayhi salam, and he said, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni an al-Islam. O Muhammad, inform me about al-Islam. Inform me about al-Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, he informed him of the pillars of al-Islam. Akhbirni an al-Islam. Tell me about al-Islam. And this is something that is very, very important. And this is something that is a foundation of the deen. And this is something that the people, they are going to be asked about in their grave. Ma deenuk. Ma deenuk. So this is a foundation that is important to know. And this is from the reason why we are breathing, and why we are existing, and why the revelation has been revealed, and the messengers have come to clarify al-Islam. And al-Islam is the religion of all of the prophets and messengers, and all of them were Muslims, and those who followed them in their days, and believed in the message that they came with, and lived upon that, and died upon that, then they were the Muslims of that era, and the Muslims of that time, and they have the promise, and they have the promise from Allah that the Muslims have, and this is the case. So to know about al-Islam is a great foundation and a great fundamental. And this is what Jibril, he came asking in this manner in order to teach. So we see that the people of knowledge, they have clarified the definition of al-Islam. Akhbirni an al-Islam. Inform me and tell me about al-Islam. The people of knowledge, they have clarified that al-Islam huwa al-istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'ah. The people of knowledge, they have clarified this beautiful definition. This beautiful definition of al-Islam. And I highly encourage all of the listeners, may Allah bless you and increase you in good, to memorize this definition and to understand it. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. To surrender and to submit to Allah with tawheed. To surrender and to submit to Allah with tawheed. And to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that He is the provider and the sustainer. And that the command is in His hand. And nothing happens except with His permission. And there is no good that can be obtained except for by the will of Allah and by His help and His aid. And that no one can be safe from harm except by the permission and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything is His and belongs to Him and under His authority subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He has given everything its shape and its form. That He is the one who has formed you in the wombs as He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to surrender to Him with tawheed, meaning to surrender with one's heart, to surrender with that belief, and to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise He has the names and attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever, and He's alive and He never dies, and there is nothing before Him, and He's always been alive, and there's nothing after Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer will know this, and he will trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will put all of his faith and reliance, and he will surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and devotion, and with sincerity, and with truthfulness and honesty, and with hope and with fear, and he will put trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. And he who attaches heart to Allah alone and not to the creation. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. Wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah. And likewise, with that surrendering with the heart comes the compliance of the body parts. So he will surrender his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with faith and love and trust and reliance and hope and humbleness and humility. And he will bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in him alone. Likewise, he will surrender his body parts and comply to the commandments of Allah azza wa jal by performing them. And likewise comply to those prohibitions by staying away from them and leaving them entirely and avoiding them. وَنَقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ. And likewise, what is included in Al-Islam, this is a great definition and summarization, that it will never be complete and never be sufficient until he frees himself from shirk and his people. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. That he will free himself from the pagans and polytheism and the worship of false gods and the likes like this. He will free himself from that and from those people. He will free himself from that and from its people. This is the definition of al-Islam, al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with love and hope and faith and reliance and trust and humiliation and humbleness and with obedience to him, complying to his commandments and the commandments of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and avoiding and staying away from entirely the prohibitions, avoiding and staying away from entirely the prohibitions and leaving them out of fear of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise having an allegiance for him and a love for him and that which he loves, and leaving off everything he dislikes, and at the head of that shirk and its people, to leave and to free oneself from paganism and polytheism and every aspect of disbelief, and the people of shirk and the people of disbelief likewise, and to make the religion for Allah alone, and to make the religion for Allah alone. Akhbirni an al-Islam. This is the al-Islam that is being clarified here. This is the Islam, or the definition of al-Islam, that is being clarified here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now he mentioned and he clarified those affairs, and he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That al-Islam is to testify and to bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Wa tuqima salata, and that you establish the prayer. That you establish the prayer properly, outwardly and inwardly, establishing its conditions and requirements and pillars and obligations and sunan and its proper times and the likes like this, establishing it inwardly and outwardly, inwardly and outwardly. Wa tu'tiya zakat, and that you pay the obligatory charity. Wa tasuma Ramadan, and that you fast, and that you fast the month of Ramadan. Wa tuhujj al-bayt, and that you make the hajj. You make the hajj to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, if you are able to do that, meaning if you have ability physically and financially, physically and financially. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified that al-Islam here is these five pillars, and that al-Islam is established in this manner. And he began with the most important, and after that which is most important sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in arrangement of ahamiyyah wal awwaliyyah, that which is most important and that which takes precedence, beginning with the shahadatain, beginning with the two testifications of faith. The first one, la ilaha illallah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And the second one, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this is the foundation, and this pillar here is an asl fi nafsihi wa aslun li ghayrihi, that this pillar here is a foundation in itself, and it's a foundation for other than it, and for the rest of the deen. Meaning that the shahadatan, these two testifications of faith, they are a pillar and a foundation and a fundamental in themselves, and they're the foundation for the rest of the affairs of the deen. And no action of righteousness or goodness or any action from the actions of the deen will be accepted, except if it's based upon a shahadatain. Except if it's based upon these two testifications of faith and the proper understanding and knowing what they require and what they mean. And these two shahada, these two shahadas, yani shahadatain, mutalazimatani, they are coming together always. لا تنفكوا إحداهما عن الأخرى, that one of them would never be separated from the other. So if one of them is mentioned, then what is understood is both of them, and that the one who makes one of these shahada but he did not make the other, or the one who testifies that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah but he did not testify to the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will never be accepted from him. it will never be accepted from him until he gathers between both of them, until he testifies to the oneness and the wahdaniya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise until he testifies to the risala and the messengers and the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner they benefit. The shahadatan, but they're mutalazimatan. They come together. They come together. They are never separated. They are never separated. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. It's his slave and a messenger. So every other action in the deen, and every other action of goodness and khair, and every other righteous deed, it must be based upon this testification here, or it will be rejected and it will never be accepted. Or it will be rejected and it will never be accepted. So from here, the people of knowledge, they say, الشهادتان الركن الأول من أركان الإسلام, that the two testifications of faith, the first pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam, أصلون في نفسه وأصلون لغيره. أصلون في نفسه وأصلون لغيره. That is a found, this pillar is a foundation and a fundamental for itself, and likewise a foundation for other than it, meaning from the rest of the affairs of the deen. Meaning from the rest of the affairs of the deen. But something must be known, my noble brothers and sisters, and that is that in order to truly benefit from this testification of faith, one has to understand and know what it means. One has to understand properly and clearly and have correct and sound knowledge of what it means, and likewise what it requires and necessitates. Because each one of these statements, it has a meaning, whether it has a great meaning, whether the greatest meaning. And likewise, they have requirements. They have conditions for the statement to be accepted and for the statement to be correct. And the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad rasulullah, it can be heavy in the scales of a believer. It can be heavy in the scales of a believer, and it can be light in the scales of others. And it can be light in the scales of others. And this testification can be established properly and can be sound and beneficial for a believer in this life. And it can be deficient and it can be weak. It can be deficient, it can be weak, and it can even be invalidated. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So from the most important affairs of a Muslim is to learn the meaning of the shahada, the shahadatain, to learn properly and correctly with evidence and proof, and to know what that means when one bears witness and testifies that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and what that requires from him. And likewise what it means whenever one bears witness and testifies that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what that requires from him. What that requires from him. So we see that the first shahada, la ilaha illallah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, it has conditions. And these are well known, that there are seven. And this is something that is well known, and the time and the likes of this class, it's not suitable to mention all of them. But the people of knowledge, alhamdulillah, they have summarized the most important requirements. They have summarized the most important requirements to benefit from the statement la ilaha illallah to three great requirements, and that is to have knowledge, proper knowledge of its meaning. And likewise, to comply to that and to apply that and to work by way of that. And likewise, to be truthful and all of that. Al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbatan, to know what it means. Yani with regards to negation and affirmation, wal-amalu biha wa bimuqtadaha, and to apply it and to apply what it requires and necessitates, and to act by way of that. Wasidku fi dhalika kullihi, and to be truthful with all of that. To be truthful with all of that. So if a believer, he did not know the meaning of that testification, if he did not know what he's saying or what he's stating, it would never be beneficial for him, and it would never be accepted from him. And even if we look into the affairs of the dunya, if someone were to testify and bear witness to something, and then they were asked, what does that mean? They said, well, I don't know. That would be rejected. Their testification and their testimony would be rejected, and it would not be accepted, and they would be considered a fool. How could he testify to something and bear witness and he does not even know what it means? So if this is the case with the affairs of the dunya, then how about the affairs of the deen? Rather, how about the asl, the greatest foundation and fundamental of the deen? Therefore, it's an obligation to learn what it means properly. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has commanded that in His book, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah, He has ordered us to learn and to know. Fa'alam, meaning that you must learn in order to know. Ta'alam, learn that there's nothing and know with certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And likewise, it has come in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. That whoever dies while he knows that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Whoever dies while he knows la ilaha illallah, he knows that, then he will enter paradise. Then he will enter paradise. So therefore, a believer, he has to know what it requires and know what it means. He has to know what it means and know what it requires. And in order to do this, a believer, he must realize and see the two great pillars of the statement. And that this statement is a statement of Tawheed and the statement of sincerity and ikhlas. And that Tawheed and ikhlas is established with two great pillars. The first one is An-Nafyu Al-Am, لِجَمِيعِ مَا يُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And the second one is Al-Ithbatu Al-Khas, Al-Ibadatu Lillahi Wahdahu Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. All encompassing general negation in the beginning. In the beginning there is negation. General, all encompassing negation. Negating the right to be worshipped from everything besides Allah. No matter how great it is or loftiest status it is. No matter how great it is or loftiest status it is. If it's creation, then it's not worthy of worship. If it's from the creation, if it is created, then it's not worthy of worship. La ilaha. There's nothing worthy of worship. La ilaha ay haqqun. Ay la ma'buda haqqun. And then a specific affirmation in the end. Illallah. Illa Allah. To affirm that right to be worshipped for Allah alone. So therefore, this statement here, it stands upon two pillars. In the beginning, there is negation and all encompassing a general negation, negating the right to be worshipped from everyone besides Allah. And then in the end of it, there is an affirmation, a specific affirmation, affirming the right to be worshipped for Allah alone. So therefore, the meaning is, La ilaha illallah, ay la ma'buda haqqun illallah. Aw la ilaha haqqun illallah. There's no true God except Allah. There's no God worthy of worship except for Allah. Not that there's no God besides Allah. Because there are many gods. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَىٰ. Allah even mentioned them in His book. Have you not seen Lat and Uzza and the third one, Manat? And these are gods that they used to have in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to worship them besides Allah. So there are many gods besides of Allah. There are many gods besides Allah. But the point is that they're all false gods and they're not worthy of worship. They're all false gods and they're not worthy of worship. They're not gods in truth. Rather, the only God that is a true God, that is worthy of worship, He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha haqqun illallah. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the true call. Lahu da'watul haqq. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned, dhalika bi anna allaha huwa al-haqq. That is because Allah, He is the truth. Wa annama yad'una min dunihi al-batil. And that which they supplicate to and call upon and devote themselves to with humbleness and humility, and they invoke besides Him, it is falsehood. It is falsehood. So everything that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He alone is the one who is worthy of worship. So therefore, again, the statement, it stands upon these two pillars. The negation and affirmation. General negation in the beginning and specific affirmation in the end. Specific affirmation in the end. And this is supported with many evidences from the book and from the sunnah. And we mentioned just two verses from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal to clarify that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. That your Lord has decreed that you should not worship anyone except for Him. That you should not worship. Negating worship here in the beginning. Just like لا إله. لا إله. Negating لا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. And illallah. That you should not worship anyone except for Him. Meaning alone. So we see in this noble verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla the clarification of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And that is that you should not worship anyone except for Allah. Meaning that there's no one worthy of worship except for Allah. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. Meaning that everyone who's worshipped besides Allah, this is falsehood. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He alone is the one who's worthy of worship. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He alone is worthy of worship. Also, from this same clarification of this meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah, is a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, so whoever disbelieves in a taghut, And the general understanding of the word at-taghut, the people of knowledge, they mention that everything that is worshipped besides Allah. Everything that is worshipped besides Allah is called taghut. So whoever disbelieves in the taghut, meaning he disbelieves in everything that is worshipped besides Allah, this is la ilaha. And then wa yu'min billah, and he believes in Allah, illallah, this is the affirmation. Then what is the reward for this person? فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Then verily he has grasped the strongest handhold. Meaning that this is the one who is holding on to La ilaha illallah properly. And this handhold will never break for him. And it will never be separated. Meaning he will have great benefit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be heavy on his scales when he meets Allah azza wa jal. And this is from disbelieving in everything that is worshipped besides Allah. Disbelieving in those things, meaning believing that they are worshipping falsehood. And that they are not worthy of worship. No matter how great they may be. Even if it was a great angel who was near to Allah Azza wa Jal, or even if it was a prophet or messenger that was sent with revelation, if it's worship besides Allah, it's not worthy of worship. It's not worthy of worship because these things are from creation. These things are from creation, and the one who's worthy of worship is the Creator. And this is how Allah, He began His book, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the first commandment. He addressed it like this, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, u'budu rabbakum, alladhi khalaqakum. O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you. So the one who created you and formed you in the wombs, he is the one who's worthy of worship. And anything that was created, he's not worthy of worship. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Those who they call on and they worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not create anything and they themselves are created. And they themselves are created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified this. So therefore, to believe in Allah alone, that he is the one who's worthy of worship, this is what is required. And to disbelieve in everything that is worship besides Allah, meaning to believe that that is falsehood, and that that is not worthy of worship, and they do not deserve to be worshipped, and that they are worshipped in falsehood, and Allah alone, he is the true God. And Allah alone, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who sends the rain from the sky, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who creates the men and women in the wombs of a woman, Allahu Akbar, he is the one alone who is worthy of worship. And this is the meaning of this statement, La ilaha illallah, la ma'budu haqqun illallah, la ma'budu haqqun illallah. So this creation is under the command of Allah and at the decree of Allah, and nothing happens except with His permission and His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who created all things and brought it into existence alone, and therefore He is the only one who's worthy of worship. Therefore He is the only one who's worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever a believer, he realizes this meaning, and now this requires for him to act. The one who realizes that he has a creator and a provider and a sustainer, and that all of the good that he has in his life and his dunya and his deen, everything that he has from his very existence is all coming from his creator, from Allah. It's all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will show thanks. Then he will submit and surrender. And this is what this statement requires. So this is the meaning of the statement, لَا مَعْبُودَ حَقٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that requires for a person to submit and to surrender, and to single out Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love and devotion and servitude and humbleness and humility, and with obedience and with hope and with fear, with trust and reliance. This is what it requires for the heart to deify. For the heart to deify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to love Him and to comply to Him and to submit to Him with humbleness and humility. With humbleness and humility, which will cause the body parts to surrender as well. And to comply and to fall in line. To comply and to fall in line. So this is the case that it requires action. And if a person were to know what it means and to understand that clearly, with evidence and proof, and then he were to work contrary to that, and he were to perform actions that would invalidate that, and that statement will never help him. If he were to say, La ilaha illallah, and he knows that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and then he called on the grave, or he sought relief and aid and assistance from the awliya and the likes like this, that statement will never help him. Waliyadu billah. That statement will never help him. Waliyadu billah, because he has to act accordingly. And what is required from that statement is to make the worship sincerely and purely for Allah alone, with no partners whatsoever, and to make the deen entirely for Allah. Allah lillahi deen al-khalis, verily the true religion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the pure one, the one that He accepts subhanahu wa ta'ala is the pure religion, that religion and the actions that are done for Him alone. So therefore, it's incumbent for a believer to learn this meaning and what it requires, and to comply with his body parts. And even if he were to do something, or if he were to not do something that invalidated the deen, but he could also, if he did not comply properly, he could do something that could weaken the deen. to weaken his deen and weaken his shahada, and he could soil and taint his shahada. And this is something that must be known, that by actions of disobedience, this is in reality tainting and corrupting the shahada and making it light and making it weak and exposing a person, exposing his own soul to the anger and the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, a believer, he learns what it means and he will comply to that. And he will comply to that, and he will surrender, and he will submit. And it's been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily Allah said, yani in a hadith Qudsi, a'adatu li'ibadi s-salihin, ma la aynun ra'at, wa la udhunun sami'at, wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar. Allah azza wa jal, he said himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have prepared for my righteous slaves. A'adatu li'ibadi as-salihin. I have prepared for my righteous slaves that which no eyes have seen and no ears have heard and never even crossed the mind of a human being. Never even crossed the mind of a human being. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمِصْدَاقُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the testification of this is the statement of Allah the Most High. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُم مِّن قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That verily no soul knows the delights that have been hidden from it. No soul knows the joy and the delights that have been hidden from it as a recompense and a reward. لِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Because of the deeds they used to do. They used to have sincerity and ikhlas, and they were truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, and they complied with their heart and with their body parts. And this is the recompense that they get, that they have that which no eye has seen, and they have that which no ear has heard, and they have that which not even crossed the mind of a human being, from delight and from joy that Allah is saving for those who believe in Him and the unseen. That Allah Azza wa Jal is saving for those who believe in Him and the unseen. And they are the people who know what they testify to, and they comply to that. And they comply to that. And this is the third requirement that the people of knowledge, they mention. And this is very important, my noble brothers and sisters. As-sidqu fi dhalika kullihi. That a believer, he'll be truthful in that. That a believer, he'll be truthful in that, all of that. That whenever he makes that testification of faith, and whenever he learns what it means, and he's learning for the sake of Allah truthfully and honestly, and he carries that knowledge truthfully for the sake of Allah, not for the praise of the people. And if he benefits others, he does that for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah, not from the people. And whenever he complies to what that statement requires, he does it seeking the pleasure of Allah, because he believes in Allah. He moves upon faith. He moves upon faith, and he does what he does because of his belief. He's truthful with Allah. He lowers his gaze out of fear of Allah, and he checks his tongue because of fear of Allah. He prays and he comes to the masjid for the obligatory prayer, even when it's hot or cold or difficult or far for him. He comes because of faith in Allah, believe in Allah. He's truthful with Allah. He turns away from the wealth that is impermissible out of fear of Allah, truthfully. Not out of blame of the people, or not out of what the people may say about him, but rather truthfully. He's truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. He's truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal in his creed, in his belief, in his statement, in his action, in his deed, in public and in private. In public and in private. He's truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if a person were to know what it means, and likewise to comply to it, if he were not truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, it would never be accepted from him. It would never be accepted from him. If he has something other in his heart, and he said it and he worked by it, but he didn't believe in it, it would not help him. It will not help him. Allah, he mentioned about the hypocrites. He said, whenever the hypocrites, they come to you, they say, we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. Wallahu ya'lamu annaka rasuluhu, wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqina lakathibun. Verily, Allah, he knows certainly that you are the messenger of Allah. And also, Allah testifies that the hypocrites, they're liars. So therefore, a believer, he has to make sure that what is he's stating on his tongue and what he's performing is for the sake of Allah. And he's doing it based upon faith. And he's doing it based upon faith, and he's truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to that. And even if a person, he were not to fall into the major hypocrisy, meaning truly in his heart he believed, but he were to fall short in the actions, then this is from the aspects of hypocrisy. This is from the aspects of hypocrisy. Lying is from the traits of the hypocrites, and it's an aspect of hypocrisy. And going back on one's word and violating oaths and promises and the likes like this, all of this is from aspects of hypocrisy. So therefore, a believer has to strive to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be truthful, yasduq ma Allah azza wa jal fi imanihi wa fi amalihi saliha. That he will strive to be truthful with Allah azza wa jal in his faith and with his righteous deeds, rather with his entire affair. Rather with his entire affair. In this manner, a believer, he can be from the people of La ilaha illallah haqqan. He can be from the people of La ilaha illallah haqqan. And the people of knowledge, they clarify, by having the correct knowledge, a person, he is safe from the way of the Christians. The people who are upon misguidance and they worship Allah upon falsehood and upon misguidance. And by having the application of that knowledge, a believer, he can be safe from the ways of the Jews. And they are the people who have knowledge, but they do not have application. And they do not apply that knowledge properly. Rather, they use that knowledge and they traded it for a misery portion of this life. So by having knowledge, one is safe from the way of the Christians, those who are ignorant and they worship Allah upon falsehood and misguidance. And by applying that knowledge, one is safe from the way of the Jews, those who earn the wrath and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they were blessed with knowledge, but they did not apply it and comply to it. And likewise with truthfulness. With truthfulness, a believer, he can be saved from the ways of the hypocrites, those who say that which they do not do. Those who say that which they do not do, and they reveal that which they can, that which they do not conceal. They have something in their heart other than that. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So this is the first issue with regards to the shahada, and la ilaha illallah. But likewise, the believer, he must understand as well the statement, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Also, it has a great meaning, and it has requirements. And that the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a lofty status. And that the station of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a high station and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise with the believers. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have raised your mention, the mention of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of this, Allah azza wa jal, he has given his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certain rights. He has given his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a certain rights. The Messenger of Allah, he has rights and obligations over us. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has rights and obligations over the believers. He has rights and obligations that the believers must perform and fulfill with regards to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many of them, but they all return back in summary to the meaning of that shahada. The shahada anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The shahada anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The testification of faith that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And the people of knowledge, they have summarized this in four affairs. And they have mentioned the first one, tasdiquhu fima akhbara. Tasdiquhu fima akhbara. That a believer, he must believe in everything that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from desires. And if it has come to us with an authentic chain of narration, according to the qawaid and the principles of the people of hadith, and they have authenticated that, then a believer, he must believe it and testify to the truthfulness of that. Wa tasdiquhu fima akhbara. To believe in everything that he has informed us of. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's his right. And that's what this means. I bear witness, he's the Messenger of Allah. Meaning he's not speaking from his desires or whims. Rather, he's speaking from guidance. And he's speaking from revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Allah, he verified that for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said in his book that verily he does not speak from his desires, and it is only a revelation revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, and it's coming from the narration of Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا حَدَثُكُمْ عَنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا فَخُذُوا بِهِ فَإِنِّي لَنْ أَقْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said, but sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if I ever narrate to you anything about Allah, if I ever say to you anything about Allah, then take it, because I'll never lie about Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then take it, because I'll never lie about Allah. He was known before he even received revelation, al-Amin, al-Sadiq al-Amin. He was known for trustworthiness and truthfulness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he never lied even on the creation. How could he lie on the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala? This will never happen. This will never happen. فَإِنِّي لَنْ أَكْذِبَ. فَإِنِّي لَنْ أَكْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said, I will never lie about Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he doesn't speak from his desires. So whatever has come from his narrations, then we believe in that and we submit to that. We believe in that, and we believe it's the truth, and we don't misinterpret that or find ways to reject that and the likes like this. But rather, we comply to that. And based upon that, how strong the faith of a believer is with regards to believing that he's the Messenger of Allah, that he received revelation from Allah, that he speaks from guidance from Allah, not from his desires, will determine how well he fulfills the rest of the rites. Will determine how well he fulfills the rest of the rites. And after that, the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, وَطَاعَتُهُ فِيمَا أَمَرَهُ. وَطَاعَتُهُ فِيمَا أَمَرَهُ. And to obey him in that which he commands. and to obey him in that which he commands. And this is an obligation to obey him. And if someone truly believes that he's the messenger of Allah and that he received revelation and guidance from Allah, then he will obey him in his command and he will know that that's good for him. Then he will obey him in his command, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knows that that's what's good for him, because it's revelation from the Lord of the worlds. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not the one who created know best? Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he knows best what is good for mankind and what is good for the people, and that's why he sent his messenger as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a believer, he will comply to that. And in reality, this is the right of all of the messengers. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And Allah, he says, and we have not sent any messenger except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. So therefore, to obey the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he has commanded, this is his right upon us. This is his right upon us. And likewise, after that, his right, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the meaning of that shahada, اجتنابُ مَا أَنْهُ نَهَى وَزَجَرَى, to stay away from and to leave off and avoid everything that he has prohibited and forbidden, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's his right upon us. And that's what this means when everyone testifies that he is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will comply to his commandments and leave off his prohibitions, because they believe that he has revelation from Allah, and that he is speaking, yani, with this revelation and guidance, and that whoever obeys him, he will be guided, and whoever disobeys him, he is exposing himself to a threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, a believer, he must likewise leave off everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited, and this from his right. And that's the meaning of the shahada. And that's the meaning of the shahada, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, he mentioned about this affair in his book, and he said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever the messenger he gives you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then take it. And whatever he forbids you from, then leave it entirely. Then leave it entirely. So this is what Allah, he has commanded. This is what Allah has commanded. So by obeying the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is in reality obeying Allah? And Allah, he mentioned, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ عَطَى اللَّهُ. Then whoever obeys the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then verily he has obeyed Allah. Then verily he has obeyed Allah. And this is the affair here. And likewise, the fourth issue from the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise from the meaning of the shahada, and to bear witness and to testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ وَإِلَّا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah, he should not be worshipped in any manner except in the manner legislated, and that a believer should not worship Allah in any manner except in the manner that has come by way of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the summarization of the meaning of that shahada, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and these are the rights of the messenger. تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ وَطَاعَتُهُ فِيمَا أَمَرَ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا عَنْهُ نَهَى وَزَجَرَ وَلَا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ وَإِلَّا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is from this affair. After this, we see that the next pillar that has come, and what has preceded likewise, is that these pillars, they come according to importance and according to that which is takes priority, and that which is greatest after that is the pillar of as-salah, is the pillar of as-salah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that as-salah and the establishment of the five daily prayers, this is the greatest pillar. This is the greatest pillar after the first pillar. The greatest pillar after the pillar of testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. The greatest pillar after that is the pillar of as-salah. Is the pillar of as-salah, and the narration, wa tuqima as-salah, and that you establish the prayer. And that you establish the prayer. So this is the greatest pillar after as-shahadatain. And likewise, it has come in the narrations that as-salah umudul Islam, that is the foundation of al-Islam. Meaning, if the salah goes, there's no Islam. And that which is keeping a person's Islam upright and strong and sturdy is his salah, is his salat. And the salat that is good, and the iqamat as-salah, to establish it properly, whenever it is established properly, inwardly and outwardly, فَإِنَّهَا تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, then verily it will prohibit a person from evil and indecency. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned about as-salah in his book, and that is for the one who establishes it properly, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, with regards to the salah, this is the last affair from the affairs of the deen that's going to go away from this life. And the people, the Muslims, they will the issues of the deen, they will become negligent and negligent with regards to the affairs of the deen, but the last thing that will be lost. the last thing that will be lost is the salah. The last thing that will be lost in this life, and from the affairs of al-Islam, is the salah. Allahu Akbar. And likewise, the very first thing that a believer, the very first thing that a person he'll be held accountable for in the grave, on the day of resurrection, the very first thing that a person he'll be held accountable for on the day of resurrection is his prayer. أول ما يحاسب عليه الناس يوم القيامة من أعمالهم الصلاة. The first thing that the people will be held accountable for with regards to their actions on the day of resurrection, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as salah, the prayer. And likewise, the prayer, it is, and again, to clarify the status and rank of this affair, and the greatness of this affair, and the importance of this affair, and the dangers of those who are negligent with regards to this affair, أنه الحد الفاصل, الحد الفاصل بين المسلمين والكفار. That this is the determining factor and the dividing line between the Muslims and the disbelievers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْأَحْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمَ السَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. That verily the covenant between us and them, meaning between the Muslims and the disbelievers, is the prayer. So whoever leaved it, then verily he disbelieved. And whoever leaves it, then verily he has disbelieved. And also to clarify the greatness of this prayer, is that unlike the rest of the legislation, how it was revealed while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the earth, and the revelation descended to him, and the regulations and al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, and the obligations and the acts of worship, they were revealed to him, and they came from the heavens. For the obligation of salah, he was brought to the heavens, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the best night of his life. He was brought to the heavens, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the prayer was made obligatory upon him there, and revealed to him there, and legislated there, and he descended with it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ordered the ummah with the prayer in this manner. And also to clarify the greatness of the prayer that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, and the delight of my eye was made in the prayer. The delight of the eye of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life is the prayer. He found peace and he found contentment and happiness and satisfaction and pleasure in the prayer. Arihna bis salati ya Bilal. Give us ease. Establish the prayer, O Bilal. He would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer is a great status, has a great status and rank with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the believers who are truthful. Likewise, it's from the last thing that he commanded and ordered, and he reminded his ummah in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before he died, by moments, he would say, as-salata, as-salata, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Yani, maintain the prayer, protect the prayer, and guard the prayer, take care of the prayer. This is what he's mentioning right before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last thing that he's worried about for his ummah, while he's going through the pains of death, salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi, as-salata, as-salat, the prayer. Maintain the prayer, take care of the prayer, observe the prayer, perform the prayer properly. Yani, correct your prayer, rectify your prayer, take care of it, don't leave it, don't neglect it. Like as-salat, as-salat. Barakallahu fikum, this is an important affair. Likewise, another issue with regards to the salat, and this is very beneficial. And that is the fact that this prayer is repeated 5 times in a day and a night, every single day. Also is an indication of the importance of this prayer. We see that the rest of the pillars, the zakat, is only obligatory upon some people, any of the wealthy, only 1 time a year. Upon the wealthy, not all of the people, but only the wealthy. Only the wealthy, those who meet the requirements, and only 1 time a year. And likewise, fasting is only obligatory upon the people 1 month, once a year, 1 month from the year. And likewise, hajj is only obligatory upon the people who are able to, physically and financially, 1 time in a lifetime. As for the prayer, everybody, the poor one, and the wealthy, and the strong and the weak, and the young and the old, they all have to pray 5 times a day. In the specific times. In the salata kanat ala mu'minina kitaba maquta. Yani every single day. And from the benefits of that, the people of knowledge, they mention that a believer, he is able to identify his companion. And with regards to the zakat, maybe he doesn't know, he doesn't see him. Or the fasting, or the lifestyle, this is only coming once a year. And the hajj is only once in a lifetime. But as for the prayer, if an individual, he spent 1 day with an individual, or 2 days with an individual, in this manner, he will be able to identify that person. Is he sahibun sarih or sahibun fasiq? Is he a righteous companion, or is he a corrupt and evil companion? How can he know? By looking at his prayer. by looking at his prayer. And if a believer, he is a companion with a person throughout the day, and then he sees him and he's accompanying him, and this person, as he's going throughout his day, he's worried about the prayer and he's concerned about the prayer and he's reminding him about the prayer and the likes like this, then this is a sign that he's an upright person. And this is a sign that he's truthful in his Islam and he's truthful in his Shahada, because he's taking care of this prayer. As for if he's with a person and he's neglecting the prayer and he's forgot about the prayer, and the dhuhr comes and he's busy and he's doing his affairs, and is that the dhuhr is about to leave and asr is about to come, until now he hasn't even recognized, and the likes like this, and then the asr comes and then the same thing goes, he's reminded, he comes finally, or then the asr comes, it's almost maghrib, he has no concern or no care like this, he's negligent about this affair. This is a sign that he's a corrupt individual and that one should not accompany him. And this is because the prayer is going to clarify the person's Islam. Is he really upon Islam? Good. Look at his salat. Look at his salat. And this is something very, very important, likewise, for the students of knowledge to know. And this is yani manhajun salafi. And this is from the salafi manhaj, that the salaf, they used to look into a man's prayer. Before they would learn from him, before they would take hadith from him, before they would benefit from him, they would look into his prayer. They would examine his prayer. And if they seen that his prayer was good and he performed it properly, then they would sit with him and learn from him. And if they seen that his prayer was not good, then they would leave him and turn away from him. And it has been collected by Al-Hafidh Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, fi Sir Alama Nubala. And this is in the Tarjama, or the biography of Abi al-Aliyah al-Riyahi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 93. From the great, great students of the companions, from the tabi'een, and from those who memorized the whole Quran and interpreted the Quran, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says about himself, he says, كُنْتُ أَرْحَلُ إِلَى الرَّجُلِ مَسِيرَةَ أَيَّامٍ لِأَسْمَعَ مِنْهُ. He said, I used to travel to a man the distance of days. We know in those days, whenever they traveled, they're on animals or they're on feet. They were in the desert and they were going through hardship and difficulty. He's traveling days. Why? The asma'a minhu. He's traveling to this man so he can hear from him. Meaning so he can take knowledge from him, so he can learn from him, so he can benefit from him, so he can learn his deen from him and hear the narrations from him and the likes like this. He said, what did he do whenever he got there? Did he immediately enter the dars? Did he immediately give salam to the man? He said, فَأَتَفَقَدُوا صَلَاتَهُ. So I would examine his prayer. He would travel days to get there. And then he would say, so I would examine his prayer. فِنْ وَجَدْتُهُ يُحْسِنُهَا أَقَمْتُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, so if I found him doing his prayer properly, then I would stay with him. Meaning I would stay there and I would benefit from him. وَنْ أَجِدْهُ يُضَيِّعُهَا رَحَلْتُ وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ مِنْهُ. And if I seen that he neglected his prayer, and in any aspect, outwardly, if I seen him that he neglected his prayer, then I would leave him and I would not listen to him at all. Meaning I would not take knowledge from him whatsoever. He says, وَقُلْتُ هُوَ لِمَا سِوَهَا أَضْيَعَ. And at this time I would say to myself, and if this is his situation with the salah, then that which is other than the salah from the affairs lesser than that, he's even more negligent. So a believer, he will be aware of this affair, and he will take care of his prayer, and he will take care of his salat, and he will take it seriously, and he will believe the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, that he said, pray as you have seen me pray. So he will strive to learn that and to be like that, and he will be diligent with regards to that. Especially a student of knowledge, especially somebody who's striving to be upright. And the first thing that he will show concern for after his shahada is the prayer. And this is the relationship between a man and his Lord, and a woman and his Lord, between a believer and their Lord. And this is the case here. And from the benefits with regards to this, and specifically with the students of knowledge, and the ability to determine an individual and know him in reality, who is he? Don't look at what the people say about him, or what he says about himself, or what comes out of his mouth only, but also weigh that with his actions. If his actions are in accordance with that, alhamdulillah. And if his actions are contrary to that, وَلِيَذِبْ بِاللَّهِ, then he will be left, and it will be clear. And what takes precedence is the actions. Like they say, actions speak louder than words. And the great benefit has come to me, and I have heard many times from Shaykhuna, Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala, that he will mention one time, he was traveling, or he was moving through the land, and he, in the time of prayer came, and he went to the local masjid in the vicinity that he's at. In this particular neighborhood, he knows a student of knowledge who lives there. So he went to the local masjid. And whenever he got there, he didn't see that student there. But he seen some of the elders there, some of the older men there who pray in the masjid all of the time. And then he went to them and he greeted them. And then Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he says to one of the elders who's sitting there, he said, "Verily, you have a student of knowledge in your neighborhood, you know that? You have a student of knowledge in your neighborhood, you know that?" And the elder, he says, "Huh? There's a student of knowledge in this neighborhood? In our neighborhood here?" And Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says, "Yeah, at this time, and if a person pays attention, this is a great tazkiyah. A great tazkiyah." He's praising him. "You have a student of knowledge in your neighborhood," meaning you should benefit from this man. This brother here, he's known to be a student of knowledge. Benefit from him. He's saying it to him like this. But this man here, he's not deceived. He said, "We have a student of knowledge in this neighborhood." And then Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned the man's name. And then at that time, the elder, he realized who that was. And he says, "The one who does not pray in the congregation, he's not a student of knowledge. The one who does not pray in the congregation, he's not a student of knowledge. He's not a student of knowledge." So if we see the likes of Abu Adiya, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een, if he's seen the man's prayer wrong, and he's not correct, and the likes like this, he will not take knowledge from him. How about if he doesn't even show up in the masjid? How about if he doesn't even show up in the masjid, and he's not even there? And this is the case with some of them. Wali'adu billah, he's not even there. If you want to even see how he prays, you can't find him. He doesn't come there at Fajr. He doesn't come at Dhuhr, Asr. And al-hukum laysa lil-nadir, bal huwa lil-ghalib. And what is considered is not what happens every now and then. And something happens to people every now and then, alhamdulillah. But somebody who's known, he doesn't pray in the masjid. He doesn't pray in the masjid. He doesn't ever come to the masjid except if he's going to have some recompense for that. Wali'adu billah, then this is not a student of knowledge, and he should not be learned from or taken from. Rather, the people should flee from him and know that in reality, this is a person of fitna. Wali'adu billah. Wali'adu billah. And from the benefits of the people of knowledge, they mention about the congregational prayer, that here, in this issue here, lies manhood. True manhood. It lies in establishing the prayer with the men in the masjid. True manhood, ar-rujula. Al-haqiqiyya lies in establishing the 5 daily prayers as much as one can in the masjid with the men. In the masjid with the men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he referred to this affair, fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yuzkara fiha ismuhu yusabbihu lahu fiha bilghuduwi wal asal. Rijalun, rijal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about his houses that he has allowed for them, that he has allowed for them to be raised, for them to be built, and for his name to be mentioned inside of them. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ رِجَالِ. That glorifying him in the mornings and the evenings inside of those houses, they are men. رِجَال. رِجَال. They are men. They are men. Somebody who is strong in his body, and he's healthy, and he can't lift his head off his pillow, or he can't remove the light sheet from his body, and he's weak. He's weak. The strength is not in the body, but rather the strength is in the iman and the ability to comply. And we'll find, like the example in this event that Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned, that there are old men who can barely move. Who can barely move, that they lift their head they're given success to lift their head off of their pillow and to remove the sheet from their chest and to get up and to stand and to come to that call. لا تلهيهم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. These are men. These are the real men. That no commerce and no trading or money or wealth will preoccupy them from the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of the prayer and paying the zakat. Meaning that maybe they are people of tijara. Maybe they are people that have things they have to take care of, but these things do not preoccupy them of their obligations because they are truthful in the shahada. Because they are truthful in the shahada. Some people, they will say, "Oh, well, so-and-so, he lives further from the masjid." Wallahi, I know individuals. I know, and most likely you all know individuals as well, and some of you are from them, alhamdulillah. They live 20 and 30 minutes away from the masjid, and they come every day for Fajr. Some of them live 45 minutes away. I know them in this state and in other states, alhamdulillah. They're رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله صادقون مع الله عز وجل. Truthful with Allah. They drive 30 minutes, 45 minutes sometimes for the Fajr prayer, for the Isha prayer, the Maghrib prayer, and the likes like this. They go out of their way because of faith and sincerity. So this is an affair that is very important, that prayer. My noble brothers and sisters, take care of your prayer. Take care of your prayer and take care of your shahada. And likewise, after this is the rest of the pillars of Adistan, but there's not enough time in this short class to go through these details. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the obligation of zakat, and this is coupled with salat, and it's also high and rank after that, and the greatest pillar after the salat is the zakat, and then after that the fasting of Ramadan, and then the hajj for the house of Allah Azza wa Jal in Mecca. And we conclude with that, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that which He has taught us a benefit for us and a proof for us and not against us, and to give us success in this dawrah and in this seminar to benefit ourselves first and foremost, and likewise our family and loved ones and our brothers and sisters in Islam, and to make it a success. And we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gathering, and after that we thank the brothers who have also worked to arrange this, and we ask the brothers and sisters to be patient, and from the likes of these seminars come much benefit for those who are sincere and those who are patient, and they're diligent and they persevere and they are consistent. And in the likes of these classes, although it's only a weekend, yani the classes sometimes may be long and there's lots of information and the likes like that, but if you're patient and you bear for the sake of Allah, truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, and taking notes and going over the knowledge and reviewing it like that, even sometimes if you already know the knowledge and you're learning it again, is going to make it firm. It's going to make it firm and make it strong and make it beneficial for a believer. So therefore I advise the noble listeners to attend the classes and coming after this one and for the next couple of days, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all and to give us success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.